Hey, welcome to the She Heard podcast, hosted by author and speaker Laurie Green Westlake. On the She Heard podcast, we cover everything from a woman's role in the church to deep and unexpected dives into your favorite Bible heroes. Laurie's passion is to equip women with courage, boldness, and bravery through biblical study and inspiring narrative. Be sure to check out lauriegreenwestlake.com for additional resources. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Laurie Green Westlake here with you today, and the topic we're going to be discussing today is the title, I Want to Cut Their Heads Off. And I do. We battle against not flesh and blood, not our brothers and sisters on this earth, but against the principalities in the air. And that is scriptural. And man, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, against God's body of Christ. And I sometimes forget that. I don't know about you, but the headlines today are overwhelmingly frightening. I mean, we hear of wars and rumors of more wars. There's news of famines. There's more and more earthquakes happening around the world. Kingdom is truly rising against kingdom. And as you know, all of those are signs from Matthew 24, when Christ's disciples ask him, what are the signs of your coming? Those are the things that he listed, some of the things that he listed, I should say, and they are happening today, but they've been happening for a while. And so I'm not about to say that, you know, tomorrow is the beginning of the Great Tribulation. I'm just saying we're supposed to be watching the signs, and they're happening. But on the immediate horizon, right here at our door, are some other things that Christ warned about, and it is deception. When the love of many will grow cold, when the love of our fellow men and women turns to hate, and we see that murder rates are up, and a recent mass shooting, it's almost overwhelming as people are just becoming so deceived. I mean, deception is everywhere. The things that people are believing today and buying into is just, it almost chokes me. I can't even digest it. It's just hard to believe. Did you know also that after COVID, only 47% of people in the church return to the church? It's almost like everybody's just giving up. And it's true. I sometimes feel like this tiny fish in an ocean of sharks. And maybe you feel that way too. But that is not what Christ has called us to be, a tiny fish hiding in the dark caves of the underworld. He has actually asked us to be bold and speak of him and teach of him and be a witness, because 2,000 years ago, he told his disciples to look up, that the fields were white, ready for harvest. And if they were ready for harvest then, how much more today? And that is what we are to be doing. If you've done my Bible study, God's Will Unraveling the Mystery, I hope that you have, but if you haven't, go to Amazon, LG Westlake. My author name is LG Westlake. You can look that up and do that study, but it's about our ultimate purpose beyond our little personal, oh God, what do you want for me? And he does want personal things for each of us. I don't mean to make fun of that, but there is a grand purpose. And when you kind of grasp that, a lot of things in your life will fall into place, because when we just think it's all about ourselves and that God is here just for you and me and to give us the things that we want and fulfill our desires, nothing ever really balances out. But when we understand the true will, it does. So again, that's called God's Will Unraveling the Mystery by LG Westlake. And you can get that on Amazon or on my website. But back to our call today to be harvesters. And we are to be pointing people to the way when people are confused and things are out of control. We are to be the ones that are saying, we have the answers, because we do. We have the answers. And there's no reason for us to be perplexed, because God has told us the ending from the beginning. So the reason why I'm calling today's podcast, I want to take their heads off, is because I'm looking at the story of David and Goliath, and that's exactly what David did to his enemy. He took his heads off. I grew up in Sunday school. David was a story on a flannel board with a young boy with a slingshot that faced a giant, took him down. And that's what most of us know about David. But I've done a closer look because I've wondered, where are Davids today? So I wanted to take a closer look at this story. And there's three points that I found that have kind of made a difference in my courage. They've kind of equipped me to feel a little bolder about facing my enemies. So I just want to briefly go through the story with you and remind you of a couple of things. Now, we know that before David went to the battlefield and faced Goliath, he was anointed the future king of Israel by the prophet Samuel. The king at the time was Saul. God was very disappointed and upset with Saul, had plans to remove him. And in preparation for removing Saul, he had Samuel go to Jesse, a man with several sons, and told Samuel to anoint one of them. And as Jesse brought his sons out for Samuel to consider, none of them did God give Samuel the go-ahead to anoint. And then Jesse said, well, I do have one more son. It's my youngest, who was probably, you know, a middle-aged teenager, someone in his teenage years, I imagine 14, 15, maybe 16. But he's a shepherd. He's a shepherd, and he's out with the flocks. Now, I'm going to stop there for a second and talk to you a little bit about metaphors and typologies. The Old Testament is full of metaphors and typologies that point to Jesus. Everything in the Old Testament points to Jesus Christ. And this is an incredible story where, you know, the scriptures tell us that Jesus was not a man of stately looks, that he was not one that, he wasn't like Saul, tall, dark, and handsome, okay? And so here we have Saul anointing the youngest son, who was still a teenager, who had no strength. We're told later on that when David grew up, he was beautiful, but he's not something wonderful to look at. He's a shepherd. And what is Christ? What is Christ? He is our shepherd. And out with the flock is where the shepherd always is. Jesus is out with his flocks that include you and me in them. So that's one amazing typology in this book. Then we're told that Jesse brings David in. God tells Samuel, this is the one. And Samuel anoints David as the future king of Israel. But it's not made public yet because the Lord still is going to deal with Saul. So it's kind of like a secret. The family knew, and David certainly knew. And so when the Israelites were battling the Philistines, David's older brothers were in the battle. And one day his father said, David, I want you to take food out to the battle and tell me how your brothers are doing. Stop again, right there. Jesus calls himself our food, our nourishment. He is the bread of life. And so when David packed his donkey with food, it's a metaphor of David packing his faith and carrying the strength of his faith out to the battlefield, which is just amazing to me. It's just beautiful. So we know the story. David gets there. Goliath is screaming blasphemies. David asks his brothers, what the heck is going on here? And his brothers say, well, this guy's been doing this for 40 days. He's been saying, send me your champion. None of us are going to do it because, you know, he's eating our. He's going to eat us for lunch, David. You need to go home. And David said, I'm not having it. But I want us to really stop and consider that David had already been anointed. David already knew he was the future king. So God had given him a promise. So David knew that Goliath wouldn't kill him. because he'd received this promise of God to be king. And he was walking in confidence. So I want to ask you, as a believer, those of you that are, as a believer, you are anointed with the Holy Spirit at the time you accepted Christ, were you not? So you, my friend and warrior, actually are going to your battlefields already in a royal position. You already know who's going to be the victor. So David tells Saul, when Saul is hesitating to send this boy out to do his job, which was actually Saul's job, when he's sending this boy out, he hesitates and David says, no, I can do this. And this is point number two. Why did David know he could do it beyond point number one, that he was anointed? But number two is that he told Saul, I've already killed a bear and a lion. And God will often give us these little victories before the big battle to encourage us and to prove to us that he goes before us, that the battle actually belongs to him. You and I both know a young teenage boy could not wrestle and kill a hungry bear or lion going after these sheep. But in defeating these animals, these carnivores, these sharks, in defeating these sharks, David is proving to be the good shepherd, the typology of our coming shepherd who protects us and who watches over his flock. And you and I are in that. So there you have that beautiful metaphor. So David is told Saul, it's okay. God has showed me victories before. Today he will give me another victory. Then David goes out and he picks up 5 smooth stones. This has perplexed me for years because everything in the Bible has purpose, every word. And I've been like, why do we need to know he picked up 5 stones? What is that telling us? So I've done a little biblical numerology study. And as we go through podcasts over the next couple of years, I hope to get to talk about some of that. It's fascinating. But there are articles in the temple that were in numbers of 5. And 5 is said to be the number of grace and favor. So for now, I mean, I'm open to the Holy Spirit is always teaching me, so I may amend this. But for now, I believe that when David picked up those 5 stones, he was showing the principalities in the air and maybe the Israelites watching who would have been familiar with temple items. I have God's favor and I'm under God's grace. And he puts these 5 stones, we're told, in a pouch. And here's another thing. Why do we need to know they were in a pouch? Well, I believe this is point for you and I as well, because each of these stones should represent a weapon that you have close to your heart to sling at a giant. Maybe it's the weapon of a healing. Maybe you've been healed of an illness, and through God's grace, you can call upon that blessing. Maybe it's your faith. Maybe you have an extra dose of faith, and you can pick up a stone of faith, because this is the time that you can hurl it. So would love to see you today write out 5 stones of truth. What are the stones the Lord has given you to hold in your heart? So when the day comes and you're facing a giant, you will know which stone to call upon and throw. And so you know the story. David picks one stone, one of his stones, and he swings his slingshot and he hurls the stone at Goliath, and it hits Goliath dead center in the forehead, which is pretty amazing because we're told that Goliath had all this armor on, even a helmet, and it hit him and it knocked him down, right? So David runs out to the battlefield, and this is where it gets a little gruesome for children, I think. And this is why I just want to say, David and Goliath is not a children's story. It's a warrior story. So he runs out to the battlefield. He pulls out Goliath's sword and he saws the giant's big thick, gross neck and saws his head off. And that's how David killed this giant. So that's why I'm saying I want to, you know, knock their heads off. I want to take their heads off because I'm so ready to defeat the enemies that are destroying our cultures, our countries, our families, our sons, our daughters, our husbands, and our wives. And we have to step up and we have to get our stones of truth and hurl them at the enemy. So let me just reflect. What lion and what bear have you killed? What victories has God given you? What are your five stones? And can you appoint upon the anointing that you already have in the royal position that you already walk in? You see, this was David's moment. This was his public show that he was the anointed by God. And maybe your past victories have been awesome and reflect on those, but God's not done with you yet. He's just building up to the big moment to show his enemies that you are his anointed one, and he's going to oust you and make you public. And oh, my mighty warrior, it's going to be wonderful because, not because you will be exalted, but because the Lord will. So that's all I have today. I just want to also say that if you've happened upon this podcast and you don't really understand what being a believer in Christ or following Christ is, I want to tell you that it's really nothing too terribly complicated. It's just believing that Christ is who he says he is. Believing that he died for you on a cross to atone for your sins, that he did that to cleanse you. It's not something you can do on your own. And when you accept that free grace offering, you actually come into the family of God. I encourage you to find another believer, ask questions, ask them to pray with you, and go through the salvation experience, or go to church. I also want to tell you that coming in June, we are having a Brave Enough to Serve, to Lead, and to Make a Difference conference here in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I will be giving more information about that in March and April. So watch on my Facebook page, Take the Hill, on my website, lauriegreenwestlake.com, and I'll be talking about it more here on my podcast. You can find more about me, my blogs, and the books I've written at lauriegreenwestlake.com. It's been great to be with you. And you know what? I hope you'll come back because you know what? We have lots to talk about.